We turn this morning to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we read verses 1 to 8. Now, first of all, if you are a visitor visiting us this morning, we want to welcome you to church. And this is worship service. Everything here this morning will be as usual, as what we usually do from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. But this is a gospel meeting, and our purpose here this morning is to explain the gospel simply so that every one of us can come to know the knowledge of God's salvation. And so this is a simple meeting, a simple message, but nevertheless this is an important message because it deals with God saving our lives. So for our message, we want to read the Bible in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. And Jesus entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose, and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Amen. Now the title of the message this morning is, Jesus Heals. Let me first of all ask you a question. What do you do when you are sick? What do you do when you have a physical sickness? Well, the natural thing to do, of course, is to go to a doctor to get medication in order that you may recover from your sickness. But what if, when you visit the doctor says to you, I cannot do anything about it. I'm sorry to tell you that your sickness cannot be cured. And there's no medication that can help you in your condition. What if the doctor says that to you when you go for your regular medical consultation? Now it is at this point that people turn to religion. It is at this point when the doctor says, I cannot do anything, that people turn to God. Maybe God can help me. We turn to God when we become desperate in crisis. Here is a man who is sick of the palsy. He has paralysis. And the first thing I want you to note is that this man with this sickness called palsy or paralysis had been sick for a very long time. The doctors could not do anything. No one could give him healing. There was no cure for his condition. And so when Jesus came into his own city, he went to Jesus. He turned to God for healing. But the striking thing is that Jesus says to him, Son, your sins are forgiven. What a strange thing to say. A man came to Jesus with sickness, expecting healing. And the first thing that Jesus says to him is, Son, your sins are forgiven. Thus, Jesus heals with these words. The title of the message is Jesus Heals. And the first thing I want us to look at is that Jesus heals a sick man with paralysis, with the palsy. Second thing, Jesus heals the soul. And then finally, I want you to come to Jesus Christ for healing. So we want to look at this man first of all, and how Jesus heals him of his sickness. Now, Jesus heals. How does Jesus heal this man with this sickness of paralysis? He had this sickness for a long time. His friends were concerned. Nobody could do anything. And so the Bible here tells us that his friends carried him and then took him to Jesus. He was so helpless that he could not on his own come to Jesus for healing. And so all his friends took him and pushed around the crowd and made his way to Jesus. Now, how does Jesus heal this man? Now, first of all, Jesus heals him with the power of God. Notice that in this account, Jesus did nothing except that he said to him, "Come, son, your sins are forgiven." And then later on, he says, "Arise, take up your bed, go into your house." Jesus spoke the word, and his physical sickness was healed. Now, what does this show us? This demonstrates to us that Jesus is very extraordinary. Jesus is not like an ordinary doctor who has to give you medication, who has to put you on a course of therapy. Jesus spoke the word, and immediately he was healed. This shows us that Jesus is extraordinary. Jesus is God. The Bible, in the very first book, tells us how God created the world. God spoke, and everything came into existence. This was how the world came about. And this is how Jesus heals this man with sickness. Jesus spoke, and this man was healed. Jesus demonstrates that the power of God is in his life. Jesus has the qualities of God in him. So much so that he is very right to say, "I am God." This man, Jesus, who gives this healing to this man with paralysis, is at the same time very God. Only God can give such a healing. Get up. Go your way. Your sickness is healed. When you're sick, you go to a doctor, he gives you earthly healings, earthly medication. And of course, today, we are very hesitant to use drugs and chemicals. So we turn to therapeutic healing, organic healing. But still, it is healing from the earth. But here, Jesus gives the power of God. How does Jesus heal? He heals directly. Again, without herbs, without medication. Directly, he came to this man, spoke the word, and immediately his sickness went away. I want to put it to you that there is no man who heals in this way. There's no one, not even any religious leader, can do what Jesus does here. Jesus heals directly, immediately. No recuperation period, no medication needed, no therapy. This is precisely because Jesus is God, he heals as God. Jesus has the power to heal. And that is what I want you to notice, first of all, about this account. Jesus heals. And then secondly, notice that Jesus deals with a deeper issue with this man. This man came to him with this sickness of palsy and paralysis. And Jesus says, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven." When Jesus says this, Jesus is dealing with a deeper issue. Jesus, of course, is concerned about his physical sickness. That is why Jesus also healed his physical sickness. But here, first of all, Jesus was concerned about a deeper issue. Your sins are forgiven you. Now, why does Jesus say this to him? I'm sure this man coming to Jesus does not expect Jesus to say this. Maybe he expects Jesus to extend his hand, reach out to him, touch him, and remove that sickness. He has faith in Jesus that Jesus could do that. But this is completely surprising and unexpected. Jesus says, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Now, why does Jesus say that to him? Now, he does this in order to show this man with this sickness that he has a greater sickness. His physical sickness is only a bodily paralysis. But Jesus wants to tell him that there is another paralysis. There is another disease deeper in his life that is paralyzing his soul. Jesus wants to tell him that he has the problem of sin. His physical sickness or paralysis is only a picture of a deeper problem that is in his life. There is something which is crippling him, something gripping him and paralyzing him. And Jesus says, "It is your sin. And I come also to take away your sins." Physical sickness, that Jesus can do. The healing of the soul, the taking away of the sins of life, Jesus especially does that. But the third thing I want you to notice as you think about this account is that this became a point of controversy. This became a point of controversy. Look at verse 3 in the Bible. "And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemeth.'" Scribes. These are men who are religious leaders, who know all the traditions of the Jews, who of course are very pious in their appearance, strict religious leaders. They were not angry with Jesus for healing this sick man of his physical sickness. If Jesus only did that, they were not angry. But the moment Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven you," these religious leaders became angry. Now, why is that the case? They have no problem. If the church today only acts like the hospital and does welfare and go out and then dispense medicine, I think most of us, most of the people in society, would have no problem with the church if the church does that. We set up booths, go to undeveloped country, go to third world nations, go out when there's a crisis and dispense medicine. But when the church says, "You must turn to God for forgiveness of sins," then people do become defensive. And this is what the religious leaders here are doing. "It is okay, Jesus, if you touch this man and heal him. But you say to him, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" This became a point of controversy. Why? Because they accused Jesus of acting like God. This man blasphemeth. This man is acting like God. Who can forgive sin? Who has the authority to take away sins and iniquities? Who has such authority and power to heal the soul? And when Jesus says, I forgive your sins, the religious leaders became offended. You are saying that you are God? Only God has this power. So this became a point of controversy. Then the fourth thing I want you to note is that Jesus responded with a profound question. Now that profound question is in verse 5. Jesus says to the religious leaders, "Whether it is easier to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk.'" Now this is a profound question that he puts to the religious leaders. Which is easier? To say to this sick man of the paralysis, "Arise and walk," physical healing, or to say to him, "I forgive your sins." Now what do you think? Which is easier? To heal this man of physical sickness, or to heal his soul and take away the sins? Which is easier? A difficult question for all these religious leaders. Which is easier? What do you think? Now the fact of the matter is both are very difficult. Both are impossible with man. Only God has the power to heal the body and to heal the soul, to take away the sickness and to take away the sins. Both require power from God. But in a sense, when you talk about physical sickness and healing the body, God performs it many times to doctors, to other men. In the Old Testament, in ancient times, to the prophets. In the New Testament period, after Jesus, to the apostles. So in a sense, there were people who could go to prophets, apostles, and doctors today for physical healing. And God acts through them. But concerning the forgiveness of sin, it is impossible with man. Because sin is not something you have done wrong against your neighbor. Sin is something you do wrong against God. Only God has that power to forgive your sin. Now, which is easier? Heal the body or heal the soul? Take away sickness or take away spiritual sins? Both are difficult. Both are impossible with man. Both requires the power of God. But then, forgiveness of sin is invisible. And this is one struggle that Christians and non-Christians have. The struggle of Christians is, can it be that for all my heinous crime, God can pardon me just with a speech, I forgive your sins? Now the struggle with non-Christians is that, you mean the Christian gospel is so easy? All that God says to me is, I forgive your sins? It is invisible. Forgiveness of sins does not follow, it's not followed with physical manifestations immediately. It is something that God says in your life. Forgiveness of sin cannot be sin. And that is why Jesus later on says, because the Son of Man, verse 6, have power on earth to forgive sins, I want to demonstrate that by healing this man with this sickness. To show that I indeed am God who can forgive sins. Let me perform a miracle. Let me heal this man. To show you that I can forgive sins. Now it is very important for the Christian church and those outside the Christian church to know this. That Jesus heals precisely to show that He is God. Now Jesus today is not here to heal you. Doesn't mean that God does not heal. But Jesus Himself is not here to heal you. He is not here to demonstrate that He is God. He demonstrated that He is God in His resurrection. Now He sits in heaven as God. Jesus heals. Especially your sickness in the soul. And this is what, secondly, we want to look at. Jesus heals. Yes, in this case of this man with paralysis, Jesus took away that sickness. But this story especially is to teach us that Jesus heals the soul. When Jesus said, your sins are forgiven, this is what He emphasized. I came to heal the soul. Now I want to read to you two other verses from the Bible, from Matthew chapter 18 verse 11. Matthew 18 verse 11. Matthew 18 verse 11, for the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Now this verse teaches us that here the Son of Man, which is Jesus, came with a precise purpose. He came to save the lost, not to heal diseases, although He had power to do that. Another verse, 1 Timothy 1:15, and I want to read that to you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And so here we have another teaching from the Bible that shows Jesus came precisely to heal spiritual sickness, to save us from our sins. Question now we want to ask, important question, is what is this healing of the soul? First of all, what is the soul suffering from? If we speak about the healing of the soul, then we also must ask the question, what is the soul suffering from? What is the disease? What is the virus? What is the bacteria? What is your soul suffering from? Now, first of all, the soul is not the body. A simple, plain truth, but it's important that we know that. The soul is not the body. That means the soul does not suffer cancer. The cancer is a sickness that afflicts your body, not your soul. Your soul doesn't suffer high blood pressure. That is also a disease of the body. Your soul doesn't suffer heart disease. That too belongs to the sickness of the body. What then does the soul suffer from? Are there any more serious sickness than cancer and heart problem and high blood pressure or other crisis? What is the disease of the soul? Now let me tell you what the soul suffers from. Let me begin with something common and basic. And then we move on to something much more serious than what we see on the surface. What does the soul suffer from? Worries. Anxieties. The soul suffers from stress. Depression. The soul suffers from mental illness and frustration. The soul suffers from hatred, anger, greed, covetousness. The soul suffers from pride and self-centeredness. And the soul suffers from unbelief and rebellion against God. All these things are not sin. But all these things are deep within the soul and the heart of every person. Let us be honest. Let's not try to boast and say, I'm better than others. We have the same human body and human soul and human condition. We all suffer from envy to a certain degree, hatred to a certain degree. Here in urban Singapore, we work ourselves to the point where we become stressed and we become depressed and disappointed about life. And then in our frustration, we complain about everybody else. And then we become so self-centered that we think that others are not important. And the most important thing in my life is that I am taken care of. And then we come to the point when others say, you need God. We say, I don't need God. That is unbelief. That is precisely what the soul suffers from. These are unseen sicknesses, but serious sicknesses. The most serious sickness of the soul is not even your hatred against others, or the way you complain about others, or even a murderous act which you commit with your hands and with your life. The most serious sin is perhaps the most common one. The most serious sin is the most ignored one. The most serious sin sometimes is also mentioned in the most courteous and polite way. What is the most serious sin? I don't need God. You can say that in a number of ways. Rebelliously, politely. You don't have to commit other heinous crimes, but when people say to you, you need God, and turn to Him, and you say, I don't need God. That is precisely what the soul suffers from. Children, how do you spell sin? S-I-N. What is the word in the middle? The letter in the middle? I. That is what sin is. I am the center of my life, not God. Now, sin is a serious sickness. Much more serious than cancer or heart disease or any physical crisis. Let me give you 5 reasons why sin is a serious sickness. Number 1, it affects your eternal destiny. it affects your eternal destiny. That means, if you do not repent, you do not deal with your sin, then your soul will perish. Your life will perish. Second, it corrupts your thoughts. It corrupts your desires. Now, a man can be very well dressed. A person can be very decent in his attire. But sin is unseen. Sin is invisible. But sin is a very corrupting power in the inner recesses of a person's life. Can be nice to look at on the outside. Can be a teacher in the classroom. But it can be one who is a seducer who takes advantage of young girls. Sin has a kind of corrupting power. Sin is serious. And then sin robs us of peace in the soul. Look at the way we live here in Singapore. Look at our lifestyle. Our heart palpitates because of stress. We work to the point where we find that life has no meaning and purpose. It's not just a physical thing. Sin takes away that peace. We stress our life until we live with no meaning and purpose. Number four. Sin is serious because sometimes sin is also the cause of our physical sickness. Now, you and I, I'm sure, noticed the recent advertisements in the media, on television. Because of the problem that our youth here in Singapore have with drugs and ketamine, the drug society has a very recent advertisement that use elderly folks and then even a very young boy to show the damage that drug can do to your body. Loses your sense of control. And then loses your bodily function. You become confused. Now you must understand that all these are just physical manifestations. Drug is only the thing that activates all this damage. But what causes a person to take drugs? What is the sin that is underlying that? It is the desire, the craving for immediate gratification. It is that longing, that urging, that craving to live a life without stress, to be heavenly in my experience, to experience pleasure and gratification immediately. Sin, many times, damage your body. AIDS, because of sex. And also, all our damage that our bodies suffer many times because of stress. Serious. But finally, the most serious thing about sin is that it is disobedience against God. God gives us a life wonderful to live, gives us blessings from heaven, made us beautiful, perfect in God's image. But sin is disobedience and brought man to disaster. It is a serious sin. How then do you cure a sickness like this? Now think about the question. After all that we have said, ask the question, how do you cure a sickness like this? Cancer? You go to the hospital. And of course, they have treatments for you. Sometimes it brings recovery. Sometimes it doesn't. But how do you cure a sickness like this? When the soul is damaged by sin, when the soul has no sense of God, when the peace in the soul is gone, and the life is so spoiled that there is no rest, we are self-centered, we are unbelieving. Now, how do you cure a sickness like this? This is where we need someone to say to us, son, daughter, your sins are forgiven you. And the Bible here teaches us that only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can say, I heal your soul. Come. Come then to Jesus for healing. Jesus many times put this to his hearers and to his disciples, come to me. you who are labor and are heavy laden, burdened with stress and sin, come to me, and I will give you rest. How do you come to Jesus? This is not just a message for non-Christians, but this is an important message and important a word for every one of us who are Christians. I say this because many times we become too focused on things on the earth that we forget simple gospel truths. How were you saved? How did you become a Christian? Can you remember the point when God turns you around and then gives you a new lease of life and made you so changed, and then there is something wonderful that comes into your life? How do you come to Jesus? How does Jesus heal your soul? Number one, we all come the same way. We all come to the cross of Jesus Christ. We all come, first of all, admitting that we have sinned against God. And this is the first thing a sinner must do. If you want Jesus to heal your soul, this is how you must come. First of all, honestly admit to Jesus Christ, I am sorry. I'm too concerned about my image. I'm too concerned about my work and my life physically. I do not know the fact that my life has also the sickness of sin. And now I admit to you that I am a sinner. And this is what you must do first of all. I admit that I have been selfish. I am sorry. And now I say, I have sinned. I am a sinner. Secondly, I admit that my soul needs healing. I need you to forgive my sins. I need you to rescue me from perishing into hell. I need you to come and deliver me from all my misery. I need healing. I need that peace. I need the restoration of a proper life that is pleasing to you. You admit to God, my soul needs healing. Number three, you say to God, as you come to God, I repent of my sins. Now, repentance is important, because repenting is not just making slight improvement in your life, but repenting means, first of all, you give your whole life to God, and you put away your self-centered life. You put away all your sins, and you begin to say, I am willing to turn away from my sins and to turn to God. Repentance. I give up my sinful lies. And then next, you believe in Jesus Christ. Because only Jesus can give you a new life. Only the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross can give you hope and righteousness and eternity. Only Jesus has the power, as it is here in this story, to give you forgiveness of sins. So you must believe, not in a religion, not just coming to church regularly, but do you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Turn to Christ. Then you need to trust in God. You trust in God to forgive your sins. Easy to say, but to trust your whole life to a person is very difficult. And that is why we have marriage problems in Singapore. People are hesitant to get married. Why? It's a problem of trust. Can I trust my finance to this spouse? Can I trust this spouse to care for me? Can I trust this spouse to support and to protect and to provide for me? People hesitate. Trust your life to a person. And this is what we need to do as we come to God. Trust your whole life to God. Trust that God forgives your sins. God can take away your sins and turn to Him. This is what the Bible teaches us. Come to Jesus. He heals you. Now, I want to put a challenge to every one of us here this morning. a practical, realistic challenge. I include myself as I say these words, so that I do not want to seem judgmental, but I include myself as I say these words. Now, fact is that most of us living here in Singapore are living in a way that brings enormous damage to our body and also to our soul. Look at the way we live. Look at the way we rush. Look at the way we work. Look at the way our children study. We live in a way that brings enormous damage to our body and also to our soul. We eat without considering the cholesterol. We work without rest. We study as if our whole life depends on a piece of paper. And we regard competitors in business as our enemies. And we murder our neighbors with envy. And we play. And we live as if there is no God in this life. This kind of life brings enormous damage, not only to the body, and that is why so many of us complain about medical care, about the hike in fees, and then we need healing for the body because of stress. But stress is only one problem. Sin is the other problem. Stress can kill the body, but sin kills your soul. Without God to save you, your life perish, you are without hope, and then you will face the judgment of God. But then the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is this. Jesus brings hope to this life, to this world that is lost, confused, and damaged and ruined by sin. Christ brings personal salvation to your soul. When your soul is so lost and sin burdens you and you are so stressed in life and you find no meaning and no purpose, but you know that you need to be saved, you need to turn to God, you need someone to take you out of hell and destruction, then you can turn to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ says, "Come to me. I will forgive your sins. I will heal you. I will believe. You will believe in me. And I will give you a new life." Now I want to come back to this story as we close. I want you to think about the response of the crowd in verse 8. "But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." Now to understand this, I want you to think again about the complaint and the protest of the religious leaders. No problem for Jesus to heal the body, but he forgives sins. And so the leader said, "This man blasphemes and acts like God." They were educated, they were well-to-do, respected, people with status. But note the response of the ordinary crowd, the common people with ordinary jobs and occupation, those that struggle in their life day to day with food and shelter. What was their response? What was their response? They were astonished. They marveled. "Truly, God is with us. He has demonstrated such power." How do you come to God? Not like the leaders, proud, arrogant, but like the common folks. That is why Christianity reaches down to the most common level of all societies, to the lost, to the poor, to the needy. When you humble yourself, turn to God, turn to Christ, Christ saves your life. Come to Him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves before you. And we thank you that you are God who takes care of our body, but especially you are God who saves us in Jesus Christ, taking us out of sin and destruction, giving to us a new life. Oh God, we need you. So that when our body perishes and we realize that our life has to end, we know that we do not have to die everlastingly, because our life belongs to you. So may these words of God come to us, especially to those who are visiting, that they may know Jesus Christ, that they may turn from their sins, that they may believe in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.